while we wait on Major League Baseball to return.
Oh, come on back.
This is another edition of Dodger Talk.
You know, it's bringing out some good, bringing families together. I think it's cool.
With your Dodger insider.
David Vassay.
To be a part, call 866-987-2570 and catch any show you missed by podcasting Dodger Talk on the iHeartRadio app.
We're essential.
Now here's David Vassay.
Well, sorry, we're joining you a little bit late. Glad Money could squeeze in his alive guy or dead guy or whatever they were doing. Welcome to Dodger Talk. We're with you until 7 o'clock right here on AM570 LA Sports, and we have a great show for you coming up at 6:15. Adrian Gonzalez, that's right, El Titan, will join us to talk about not only that 2015 game that we are going to replay at 7 o'clock, but also quarantine life, how him and his wife Betsy are helping those that are needing help during this period of time, and we'll reflect back on all of his great Dodger years. And Adrian, during the time that he was with the Dodgers, definitely one of the most popular players during the last decade. And in case you missed it, we are replaying one of the classic Adrian Gonzalez games that he took center stage in, and it was back on April 8th, 2015, almost 5 years to the day, over a day, where he hit his first ever three-home run game against the San Diego Padres, and the Dodgers needed every single one of them because they beat the Padres that night 7-4. Adrian Gonzalez hit all three of those against Andrew Cashner, who was the Padres starter, so we'll reflect back on that. And at 6:40, Rick Monday will be joining us. He'll be checking in for the second week in a row, and with good reason. Tonight we are going to celebrate the anniversary of Fernando Valenzuela's first ever career start, and it was a 2-0 complete game shutout against the Houston Astros. And Rick was part of that 1981 championship team, and he'll reflect back and share some memories and behind-the-scenes stories of Fernando in his first year with the Dodgers. And who could forget Rick Monday's home run in Montreal, Game 5 of the NLCS, to give the Dodgers the 2-1 win off of Steve Rogers, who was pitching in the ninth inning, to send the Dodgers to the World Series to face the Yankees for a third time in 4 years. And if you remember that game, a lot of you may not, it was a 1-1 tie. How did the Dodgers get that one run before Rick hit the go-ahead home run in the top of the ninth inning? Well, it was Fernando Valenzuela hitting a ground ball in the infield with Rick at third base to score the first Dodger run of that game against the Expos. So Rick and Fernando share a lot in common, including that 1981 championship ring. 866-987-2570. We are taking your phone calls. And in case you missed our show last night, not only did Andre Ethier join us for the full hour, and you can podcast that at am570lasports.com or by downloading the iHeartRadio app, we actually did a Zoom recording of the interview, and you can see that online. I retweeted it at the real underscore DV, and also you can see it on our website, am570lasports.com. Since yesterday was such a success with Andre Ethier, we're going to do the same tonight. We're taking this to a Zoom level with Adrian Gonzalez at 6:15. So after the interview is done, after the show is over, look out for the tweet from am570lasports of the video of me and El Titan sharing our conversation tonight, so that should be fun. And obviously, a lot of people are in need out there. Unemployment is rising. People are worried about their next paycheck. Kids are out of school. They don't get their free meals, grab-and-go meals, courtesy of the LAUSD. And the Dodgers and the Dodger Foundation, along with us here at iHeartMedia, are doing their part. You can text RELIEF to 41623 and donate any amount to try to help the cause if you're able to help those that are less fortunate, and also some of the healthcare workers that are on the front line. And speaking of those healthcare workers on the front line, Walker Buehler and his partner, High Brew Coffee, provided healthcare workers at the Ronald Reagan UCLA Medical Center with much-needed coffee. And tomorrow, The Dodgers Foundation will grill and serve 4,000 Dodger dogs at the Dream Center tomorrow, courtesy of Farmer John, Frito-Lay, and Levy, to feed those kids that are out of school, that need some meals, that families that are homeless, that are, you know, basically living paycheck to paycheck. And like I mentioned, unemployment's up. So everybody with the Dodgers, the Dodger Foundation, Dodger players are doing their part. And Justin Turner and the Justin Turner Foundation have been there since day one. So your Dodgers, your organization are definitely doing their part. Also doing their part are the Gonzalez's. Adrian Gonzalez, he'll join us next right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Dodgers replay coming up at the top of the hour. We are celebrating one of the great moments of Adrian Gonzalez's Dodgers career. 3-home run game, the first one of his career, and we will replay that coming up at the top of the hour. Every weeknight we have Dodgers replay, and tonight it's LT Tons night, and he joins us right now on Dodger Talk, and we are doing the Zoom as well. I see his beautiful face. He's got a nice haircut courtesy of his wife, Betsy. Gonzo, thanks a lot for calling in.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me. Hey, and then thank you to all the fans for wanting to play my game, with the game where I hit 3 home runs. It was a memorable night for sure, and you know, one of those nights that I'll always remember for sure.
That's right. This was a fan vote. This was the very first game the fans voted on, and this was the game they wanted to hear. How special is that to you, that Dodger fans from day one embraced you and even to this day still cherish the moments that you had?
Yeah, no, it's amazing. I mean, you talking about it right now gives me a little bit of chills. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to all the Dodger fans for the way that they took me in for day one. And, you know, just for the support they've always given me. I know I you know, feel the same way about every single Dodger fan. And, you know, I'm a Dodger fan as well as at the moment. And, you know, just continue to love and enjoy every moment I get when I do see them out and about. And unfortunately, right now, we don't get to see a lot of Dodger fans. But today, you know, there was a delivery to the house, and then it was a fan, and he wanted to take a picture for his son, and so we took a picture, and you know, all those moments are special, and I really appreciate all the fans all the time for sure.
Adrian, when you look back at your 6 years with the Dodgers, it was somewhat of a storybook beginning. Usually it's a storybook ending, but it was a storybook beginning. Your first at bat, big 3-run home run. Did you feel at that moment, hey, this is meant to be?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was very special. It was a very hectic day traveling from Boston, you know, to LA. And I remember just getting up to the plate and not knowing what just happened. I mean, I was in Boston in the morning. I was, you know, at the plate at Dodger Stadium at night. And, you know, I just happened to catch a ball inside and keep it inside the foul pole. And, you know, I remember that moment for sure. And, you know, one of the things I always remember is that my first and my last at bat was a Dodger. So that was very special for me.
Adrian Gonzalez joins us here on Dodger Talk. We are going to replay his first ever 3-home run game on April 8th, 2015. And Gonzo, I'm not sure if you realize this or remember this. I know a lot of fans may not, but not only did you have the 3-home run game that night, but you had homered in 4 consecutive at-bats. Were you in that type of zone that you always hear about for a hitter to start that season?
I was. You know, I was able to do something that Trevor Story, I think 2 years later, swiped that major league record away. But I started off the season feeling really good about my swing, and I hit a home run on opening day. I hit a home run the second day, and then, like you said, the second day was on my last at bat. I remember it was against Joaquin Benoit, and then I was able to hit the 3 home runs the next day off of Andrew Kashner, and you know, that was the record was 5 home runs in the first 3 games of a regular season. Never had been done before in the history of baseball. And then two years later, I think Trevor Story hit like 7 home runs in 3 games, so it completely shattered it. But it was special. It was one of those moments where, you know, I think that whole month of April for that season was a month where I felt really good at the plate, and I was able to put up some good numbers. And you know, it was definitely a memorable season.
Tonight we're replaying that April 8th, 2015 game, 3 home runs, 3 of Adrian's 101 home runs as a Dodger. And we replayed Kershaw's no-hitter last week, Adrian. Your defense came up because I interviewed Miguel Rojas, who made that great play in the 7th inning of that no-hitter, but he didn't take credit for that play. He actually gave you a lot of credit for making that scoop. What do you remember about that play? And I remember how many errors you saved from a lot of infielders during your time with the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I really took pride on, you know, being a defensive first baseman. First base, especially at the back end of my time with the Dodgers, there was a lot of stints going on, so they really limited you on the ability to move side to side. And so, you know, when you're limited because they put the second baseman behind you and then you can't go to the ball to your right anymore as much, you know, really the only thing that a first baseman at that point can do is catch the ball that's hit to you and try and catch all the throws from the infielders. And so, you know, but that was something that for me, for my whole career, was very important, was to make sure that, you know, you try and catch every ball that's thrown to you so you can not only save the infielders, but more importantly, you know, save the pitchers. And, you know, when you can help out the pitchers in that regard, it helps them a big amount, and it allows the team as a whole to have a better chance to win.
Now, I remember after that night that you hit those three home runs, Adrian, you stressed to all the reporters you're not a home run hitter. Did you ever feel like you were a home run hitter during your career, even with the Dodgers?
You know, I always thought myself as a gap to gap, you know, line drive, try to put backspin on the ball, and if the ball goes over the fence, it goes over the fence. If the times that I try to hit a home run, I always put myself in slumps. So I never wanted to, you know, personally think of myself or tell myself that I was a home run hitter, because that would automatically put me in a slump. You know, I got some good advice early on in my career, and they always told me try to hit the ball through the fence rather than over the fence. And so that was always my mentality, is just trying to go through the fence and hopefully it goes over. But it's one of those things where when you start telling yourself you're a home run hitter and you start trying to hit home runs, the swing goes, falls into pieces, and it's hard to put it back together at that point when you go in those slumps. So, you know, for me, it was important to always try to hit line drives, you know, left center, right center. I know those are words that not the young hitters today's day and age don't want to hear is hit line drives. But, you know, for me, I think it's the best way to hit.
I mentioned the 101 home runs you hit for the Dodgers, but more importantly, you drove in 448 RBIs. Whether it was a home run, a double, that one triple, it was always a way to get that run home. Is that something that you also were taught as a young hitter, or is that something that you had a knack for?
Yeah, I came up in an era where RBIs were big. You know, I know nowadays, again, going back to the new mentality of, you know, RBIs aren't as important. It's better to walk and give the next guy a chance to hit that three-run homer if there's a runner on third. I came up in an era where it was get the guy in because that run counts. And, you know, for me, whether it was a ground ball to the second baseman or the shortstop or a fly ball to left field with a runner on third, you get it done and you bring that guy in. And that's the mentality that I came up with. That's the mentality I had my whole career is, you know, if I'm going to get him on third base with less than two outs, my job is to get him home. And so I always made a big you know, emphasis to make sure you put the ball in play. Whether it was first pitch, just hit that ground ball, get him in, or if it was, you know, get the two strikes and make sure you don't strike out. It was something that I always made sure to get done. And luckily, you know, for the most part of my career, I was able to do that.
Adrian Gonzalez is our guest here on Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports. And Adrian, when you talk about the chills, talking about that three home run night, you played in a lot of stadiums. You played for several different teams. The chills that you had playing at Dodger Stadium, were they something that you never had before in your career as far as the way you were celebrated by the fans?
I think there was a lot of great moments, and I was lucky enough to play in front of some incredible fan bases. But I tell you what, the support and the way that Dodger fans always supported the team. I remember my first full year there. We started off really, really slow. I mean, you remember we were like May something, and we were about 12 games behind, and it didn't look like, you know, things were promising. But we would go out to the games, and the fans would still be there, and they would still be sold out, and they were still behind us, and they were still supporting us. And then we turned that season around, and obviously, you know, that Dodger team and every other Dodger team since then has won the division every single year. And it's something that has always been very special to me. To be part of that first season of winning the division, and the Dodgers have not lost a division since. And so that's something that is very, very, very something that I hold pretty proud to me. But for the most part, I'm just so gracious for all the fans. I mean, it's something that the fans, there's nothing better. There's no better fan base in the world than Dodger fans. And I was just grateful to be able to play in front of them for the years that I did.
Hey, being a San Diego guy your entire life, going back and forth between San Diego and Mexico, you moved to L.A., so you're an L.A. guy. We embraced you so much, you never left.
And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it was really special. And for us here in L.A. with the girls in school, it was they're in a great school. We love the school. We love the community. We go to San Diego quite often. I mean, we still have all our roots and ties in San Diego as well. So it's for us, San Diego, L.A., L.A., San Diego. It's just we've been so fortunate that we have two incredible fan bases that have always supported us. We got family in both places, and we just settled in very nicely here in LA, and we really love being here.
And no matter where you are, Adrian, you and your wife Betsy are not always just thinking about yourselves and your immediate family, but you're always thinking about the communities that you're entrenched with. And you guys are trying to help the less fortunate through Betsy's Shoe Line. Tell everybody how Betsy and you are trying to be generous to try to help those in need during this time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think for Betsy and her Shoe Line, Mia Bekar, it's very important right now in this time that we're all, you know, quarantine, we're all going through this pandemic together, we're all in this together to not think about anything other than how can we help, how can we support. And so she has decided to give all the proceeds to California Community Foundation emergency response COVID-19 emergency response fund. All the proceeds go to healthcare, homeless, and anything that needs funding or emergency relief here in LA. And so the entire store right now is 30% off. All the remaining proceeds will go to this COVID relief. And, we have donated some masks personally and a bunch of other stuff personally. But, you know, we really want to focus on what Mia Bekar is doing. And that's very special to both of us to be able to give. And also, if you don't want to, you know, have to buy a pair of shoes to give, you can also just go on the website, miabekar.com, and there's a link where you can just give, you know, from $1 all the way to whatever you like. So you don't have, it's not a prerequisite to buy a pair of shoes. You can just give directly through there.
That's awesome. I'll do it after this interview for sure. We'll donate because I know Adrian and Betsy do great things. So congratulations.
You.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you know, before this pandemic started, you're very lucky. It's almost the 5-year anniversary of our big race where you kind of cheated and took an extra jump start there. So I was actually going to relive our race. You're lucky that this pandemic hit or you would be in trouble.
I know. I was asking before we went online here if we could do a virtual race or a virtual boxing match or something, but you know, you lucked out, I think. I would love to race you at some point in the near future or put on the gloves and let you take a couple hacks at me. But it's something that we always had a lot of fun for sure, and we enjoyed the time together and just joking around the clubhouse is always something that. No, I enjoy doing, especially with great people like you.
Oh, thank you, Adrian. I always observed you as a teammate, too. You were always so inclusive with your teammates. Was that something that, I mean, I think that's just in your DNA. You're a very loving guy and inclusive guy.
I think I had some really good teammates coming up. I mean, obviously, you know, for me, life is about creating relationships and getting to know people rather than just being a teammate. Teammates are great, but relationships and friends are better. And, you know, it's one of those things where I had some great mentors coming up, coming up with the Ranger system and then with the Padres. And so it just stuck with me on how to be, you know, try to be the best teammate and not leave anybody out, not have those clubhouses where you have groups or niches where, you know, people don't talk to each other. And so for me, being bilingual, speaking both Spanish and English, made it something that I always wanted to make sure to talk to all the people that I could communicate with, even anybody else through the translator. So it was always something that I enjoyed getting to know people.
Yeah, and that's what Adrian Gonzalez was. There's a reason why he drove in all those runs. He loves seeing other people score the runs and get the attention as well. Hey, before I let you go too, you heard your buddy Justin Turner's idea about instead of extra innings having a mini home run derby. You're always level-headed and have a great insight on baseball. Do you think that is something that should happen, or do you feel like Justin's a little biased since they led the league in home runs last year?
No, I mean, yeah, I think with the if the season does happen, I think you put all those efforts and you throw them all in there and you see what works, because if it's a shortened season, it's probably gonna have an asterisk already behind it. You know, I don't know how you can count stats based on full season numbers and all that stuff. So why not? I mean, do that. I would say even to the extent of putting a DH in both leagues so the pitchers can have full pitch counts. Because, you know, in the National League, a lot of times they'll take out a pitcher early because the spot in the lineup's coming up, or, you know, and pitchers aren't going to be ready to go to their full length right from the beginning, because they're probably going to have a shortened spring training. So if you just put DHs in both leagues at the same time, the pitchers can just get their pitches in, get their innings in, and they're, you know, you don't run into any situation with double switches or all any of that stuff, and you just let the guys play that just like the American League does. And why not? I mean, if you want to have a home run derby at the end, and if you want to have, you know, robot umpires and all the things that people have talked about, throw them all in there. This is the season to do it, in my opinion. Just do it all, see how it plans out or plays out, and then you can decide what you want to go with in the future. But if you're going to have a shortened season, possibly in Arizona and, you know, in the spring training fields and all this stuff, I mean, just throw it all in there, and whatever sticks, sticks, and whatever doesn't, you do away with, and you know you tried it and it didn't work, or it did work.
What sticked was Adrian Gonzalez with the Dodgers. Thanks a lot for the time. I'll let you go. I know you got to, you know, cook dinner for the family tonight. You're very versatile in the household over there, especially during quarantine time. So thank you for taking the time out.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Dave. Always great talking to you. And, you know, just always great being able to be in front of the Dodger fans. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, great to see you too. And fans after the show can see us via Zoom. I took this to the next level, Gonzo.
I like it. Unfortunately, there's two very ugly faces to look at. So, I mean, that's one thing that we can't do anything about.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. I'll try to black it out the next time. I'll try to not only have my initial on the box.
Well, do that with me too. So.
Thanks, Gonzo. You're the man.
All right. You too, Dave.
There he goes, Adrian Gonzalez. And, yeah, not a coincidence. I maneuvered my chair so he could see the jersey I won at Justin Turner's auction. He's the man, Adrian Gonzalez. Thank you, Gonzo. We're done with the Zoom recording now. When we continue here on Dodger Talk, we will celebrate the anniversary of Fernando Valenzuela's first ever major league start. It was against the Houston Astros, a 2-0 shutout against them. And Rick Monday, who was his teammate all the way to the World Series, will relive those great memories next on Dodger Talk right here on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks to Adrian Gonzalez for joining us and reliving some great memories, because when he was traded to the Dodgers, that signaled the return to dominance for the Dodgers, and that's what's taken place ever since he's been part of the Dodgers organization. The Dodgers have run off consecutive division championships since 2013, so it all started with that trade with the Red Sox. Adrian Gonzalez, Nick Punto, Josh Beckett, Carl Crawford, and really the guy the Dodgers wanted was Adrian Gonzalez. And you are going to hear one of Adrian's great games in a Dodger uniform coming up at the top of the hour. It was April 8th, 2015, 5 years ago, when Adrian hit his first three home run game against the San Diego Padres. All three were against Andrew Cashner, and the Dodgers went on to win 7-4. And also an extra treat, the first three innings were called by Vin Scully back in 2015. 866-987-2570. The final six innings and the final call of that game were called by Rick Monday and Charlie Steiner. And I'm joined right now by one of the voices, actually the longest tenured active voice of the Dodgers, and that is our very own Rick Monday. Hi, Rick.
Hi, David. At least on the English side, let's not overlook the Hall of Famer Jaime Herrera has done an incredible job on the Spanish side. We're all getting through this thing together, David, and I will say this. Even in Florida, I can pick up your show. And I know you just got off with Adrian Gonzalez, and if you guys have a boxing match, I don't care where it takes place, I'm going to be ringside.
Will you be there to pick up my body when it falls to the ground?
I will be one of the guys. I'll help carry at least one into the stretcher for you, pal.
I appreciate that. That's a good friend right there. Rick, not only are we celebrating one of Adrian's great games on Dodgers Replay tonight, but we also have to celebrate the anniversary of your teammate Fernando Valenzuela's first ever Major League start, which obviously catapulted Fernando Mania. What do you remember about that day back in 1981?
Well, I really remember the day before, and that was the fact that, you know, Fernando, we saw him briefly at the end of 1980 coming out of the bullpen. Well, we saw him in spring training. He made the Major League Ball Club. He was coming west with the club. We were working out at Dodger Stadium. Jerry Royce was slated to pitch the opening game against the Houston Astros, but he hurt his leg running sprints in the outfield either the day or 2 days before. So Fernando, who was slated to pitch game three of the season, was moved into the rotation, and he had just pitched batting practice 2 days before. And Fernando became the youngest Dodger rookie to pitch on opening day, and he became the youngest pitcher to start an opening day at the major league level since Catfish Hunter in 1966. So we all looked at one another, and here's this magical streak that he had. All he did, David, in the first eight starts that he had, he was undefeated. He had worked eight games. He had thrown eight complete games, and his earned run average after eight games at the major league level, 0.50. An amazing start.
And I also mentioned, Rick, towards the end of that season, in the postseason, obviously we all remember your home run against Steve Rogers, but Fernando was the reason why you had one run.
Yeah. Not only did he pitch the ball game and then to turn it over to the bullpen in the ninth inning, holding on to that 2-1 lead, but he actually knocked in. We were trailing 1-0. I was at third base. I got in the single, and I think I went to third on a base hit by Pedro Guerrero. But it was Fernando that hit the ground ball that allowed me to score in an infield out to make it 1-1 tie at the time. So he not only did it with his arm and with the pitching, he also did it with his bat, which he could do quite well.
No doubt about it. And Rick, many people that are too young to remember your Dodger teams, you guys were rock stars. You couldn't go anywhere in Los Angeles, but Fernando and Fernando Mania in 1981, it felt like it took him to a different level where he had to really be, speaking of quarantine in his hotel rooms. Can you describe what it was like being around Fernando off the field?
Well, off the field, David, I really think in retrospect, I thought at the time too, I believe strongly that the fact that he primarily spoke Spanish worked out in his benefit for a couple of reasons. First of all, it kind of insulated the notoriety that he was getting, which was overwhelming. I mean, here's a man that comes from a village in Mexico, very remote area, and he's pitching in front of 50,000 people on opening day. That is a huge transition. And the job that Jaime Herrien did in really kind of protecting, insulating Fernando as we went around the country, and this big, big story about this young left-handed pitcher out of Mexico got bigger and bigger and bigger, Jaime was able to be the interpreter for him. So it allowed Fernando a little bit of a buffer, and it also allowed him to have press conferences instead of people just constantly coming up and wanting one-on-ones and being able to do it. How he handled it and how Jaime handled it was absolutely magnificent. And I really think that it helped not only Fernando, but it helped the rest of the club. We got very, very protective about this young man because he, every time we went into another city, it was a new story for that city and everybody wanted to find out about it.
Yeah, and for those that are not around a major league team, when there is a certain player that everybody wants a piece of, the other players, the other teammates on the team, Rick, you guys have to take some of the brunt of that as well. Was when you talk about protection, was that protecting him by doing the interviews, or was it by protecting him by telling reporters to back off of him?
Well, here's a guy that's 20 years of age. This is a totally new experience for him. It came very, very rapidly and deservedly so with what he was able to do. And how he handled it was absolutely magnificent. But we got, again, very protective about how he was. We didn't want him taken advantage of, and he was not. But he was a big, big story, maybe bigger than we really actually knew at that particular time. It turned into a crescendo. I've said over and over that the Dodger Stadium, it became a fiesta every time Fernando was pitching, and a fiesta that was enjoyed by everyone, including the players.
Yeah, no doubt about it. A lot of success in 1981, thanks to Fernando Valenzuela and Rick Monday and the rest of that great team. And, Rick, when you think back to being around Fernando, you have a great sense of humor. He has a great sense of humor. At that time, or maybe a couple of years after that, did you start to see some of that sense of humor come out?
He was like that ever-ready battery. He was like a very, very childlike. When he was off the mound, very businesslike when he was on the mound. But I remember a couple of things that he used to do all the time. He had a little lasso. It was made out of, maybe clothesline-type material, about that diameter. And he would turn it into a little bit of a noose. And when someone would walk past him during the dugout on games he was not pitching, he might just kind of throw it out there and see if he could lasso someone's shoe. And then he would let go of it, and everybody had a laugh. Well, just little things that he did. But once he got on the mound, he may have been 20 years of age, according to the birth certificate, but he was an old soul in a young body. And at times, we actually thought that he had looked at the highlight film of the game because he played the game like he had already experienced this game. They were playing it at the present time. I remember Reggie Smith yelling out once, there was somebody that got a first base, I think worked a walk after about maybe 12, 13, 15 pitches. Kept fouling pitches off. Fernando finally missed outside, which he didn't do very often. And Reggie made a comment as the guy's going down to first base. Okay, pal, now you're really in trouble. And by golly, it was before Fernando made the second pitch, the next batter, the guy was picked off at first base. This young man not only pitched well, it's like he had eyes in the back of his head if someone was leading off too much at second base. I never saw Fernando at a loss on what to do with the baseball once it was hit to him or what to do to back up a play if the ball was hit to somebody else. Here's a guy, it's like he had lived this before, and now we're seeing it live in action.
That's amazing. And Rick, I've never asked you this before. In spring training, you may go up against your own pitcher. Did you ever have firsthand experience going up against Fernando's screwball?
Not that I remember. You know, baseball had a few guys over the years, though, that did throw in left-handed pitches that threw the screwball. I think immediately of Mike Cuellar, who was with the Baltimore Orioles. But Cuellar would never throw the screwball to left-handed batters. Now, I don't know if other pitchers did it or not. Left-handed pitchers, the left-handed batters throw a screwball. Not too many guys threw it very well, and not too many people had the screwball that Fernando had learned from Bobby Castillo, quite frankly, when Bobby was with the ball club, and Bobby Castillo and Angelino himself. But Fernando was not afraid to throw it to anyone at any count, and he had the ability at times to just miss off the plate enough to tempt the hitter. And there's a lot of hitters that looked at it and said they were baffled by that pitch.
You had a great view of it playing in the outfield and seeing the way he would make hitters look with that screwball pitch. Is that one of those signature pitches?
I loved it when he pitched. I loved it when he pitched, David, because I basically had an off night defensively. Because you stop and think, is it, you know, an outfielder, what's the job of an outfielder? Well, if you really want to get little snarky about it, an outfielder is in charge of running down pitchers' mistakes. And I didn't have to run down many balls when Fernando was pitching. There were a lot of ground balls that were hit, but not too many fly balls that were hit, not too many that were hit deeply.
That's a good way to put it, Rick. You're right. You guys have to track down a lot of mistakes when they get a hold of it out there, and sometimes you have to go all the way to the wall.
Yeah, there were times that you have a pitcher, you might want to yell in from an outfield standpoint, hey, walk somebody. Let us catch our breath out here for a minute or two.
Oh, Rick, those are great stories, and it's great to hear your voice. I know Dodger fans love hearing it, and thank you for sharing these great moments of Fernando's career on the night that he made his major league debut as a starter, the anniversary of that happening today. It's an awesome perspective from a guy that obviously was a big part of the 1981 World Championship team.
David, always a pleasure to talk to you, and for the listeners, hang in there. We're doing it here in Florida. this is going to it's going to get better, and we can get back to somewhat normal. And I can't wait to again to hear the baseball bat hit the baseball and hear some people cheer about it.
Yeah, that would be really nice. And maybe next time we have you on, we'll talk about some of these different scenarios and ideas that have been thrown out there by different people.
Yeah, well, I think the next conversation we have, David, we should be looking at a catalog on how to get good headgear to box and a mouthpiece and maybe a good cut man you're going to need in your corner.
Okay, sounds good. That'll be the second part of the conversation.
All right, talk to you soon. Stay well.
All right, Rick, there he goes. The great Rick Monday, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would not be a good idea. I did take some punches from Adrian Gonzalez a couple of years ago before a fantasy football draft, and it didn't feel that great. Cody Bellinger was there, too, and gave me a couple of punches with some protective gear. So I got a taste of what it's like to be in the boxing ring with Adrian. Not doing that. I'll race, but I'm not doing that. Man, great to hear Rick's voice. Great to have him share some of the great memories of Fernando Valenzuela, who sometimes gets lost in the shuffle, and that happens sometimes as the years go on. But it's up to us to make people remember and remind people how great he was for the Dodgers in the 80s. And without him, the 1981 Dodgers don't win the World Series. Rick Monday never gets that opportunity to hit that home run off of Steve Rogers in the NLCS without Fernando. He went on to win the Cy Young, the Rookie of the Year. He was just outstanding. And then in 1986, he set the record, breaking Carl Hubbell's record for striking out consecutive batters in the All-Star game when that was at the Astrodome. And one of those guys was Don Mattingly. So Fernando is just amazing. Not only was he a great pitcher, the way we describe Clayton Kershaw is the way Fernando played the game. He wasn't just a pitcher. He was a baseball player. When he had the ball, he was a pitcher. When he released the ball, he was a fielder. When he was at the plate, he was a hitter. And when he was on the bases, he was a base runner. He was that type of guy. And it was awesome to hear Rick share that with us and describe how he knew where to be and where to go and had those baseball instincts. And it's awesome sometimes in the press box, standing next, Fernando will walk up next to me and he'll start to dissect the game that we're watching. And it's nothing like it. And without Fernando, trust me, the Dodger fan base would not be what it is right now, because he took it to a different level. And those people that were part of Fernando Mania made it what it was. They all passed it down. It was passed down to me, and it was passed down to their kids. And that's what I'm doing as well. So that's what sports is all about. Moments, players that really capture your attention. And emotionally, you love watching them play. You pass that down to the next generation, and that's what's happened with Fernando Mania. It still lives on in just a different form. Let's go out to Palmdale. Nelson, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Nelson. Thanks for being patient.
Hey, what's up, David? How you doing?
Thanks.
Man, I really want to talk to Adrian, because, man, I got a story for him that I think he'll really enjoy. Even though he's not a Dodger, man, he's always going to be like a part of my family, you know what I'm saying, forever, because back when my wife was pregnant with my first child, you know, we couldn't come up with a name. And then we battled whatever she liked, I didn't like, whatever I liked, she didn't like. And then one night we were getting ready to go out to dinner, we're watching the game, and my sister was there, and up to that was Adrian. And I go, what about Adrian? I started thinking, you can't make fun of it. It doesn't rhyme with anything. And I asked my wife, hey, you like Adrian? Yeah, it's whatever, Andy. I'm like, So I go, you know what? Screw it. If he hits a home run, I'll name my kid Adrian. Bam. My first son was named Adrian. And my dream is to one day have Adrian meet Adrian. And him to me to know who he was named after. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'll happen, Nelson. I'm sure it will. It was meant to be, and hopefully one of these nights, because I have a feeling we'll be here at least until May, we'll have Adrian come on and take some phone calls from the fans.
Okay, I'll be waiting. And if you're hearing Adrian, please, I will love it. Man, I'll donate, I don't know how many shoes to your organization. I'll even put man hours, whatever it takes.
We'll make it happen, Nelson. Don't worry about it. Adrian's not listening. He's making dinner for the family now. We'll have him. You'll call in when he comes on again. We'll try to make that happen. Adrian, take some phone calls from the fans, because obviously he is one of the most popular Dodgers in the last 10 years. So we'll try to make that happen. And in case you missed our interview with Adrian Gonzalez, it was awesome. And you can find it three different ways. Coming up later tonight, it'll be posted on AM570 LA Sports Twitter account and on the website, our Zoom conversation. You'll see Adrian, you'll see me during our phone interview here on Dodger Talk. And if you want to hear the audio version, like you can hear every interview and every show, you can download the iHeartRadio app, or by going to AM570LASports.com, you could podcast it as well. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for his help. Thanks to you for listening. And don't forget, you can help the less fortunate by texting RELIEF to 41623. That's RELIEF to 41623. The Dodgers Foundation and us here at iHeartMedia trying to do good things for the less fortunate during this pandemic. And tomorrow, the Dodger Foundation will be serving over 4,000 Dodger dogs at the Dream Center for kids that are not in school right now and the less fortunate families out there. So the Dodgers are doing their part, we're doing our part, and we can all chip in a little bit somehow, some way, if you're able to. Coming up next, Dodgers replay. Vin Scully with the call for the first three innings. It's the three home run game by Adrian Gonzalez on April 8th, 2015 against his old team, Andrew Cashner and the San Diego Padres. So it should be a fun one, and nothing like hearing Vinny's voice. Don't go anywhere. Dodgers replay is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. See ya.